Corinthians chapter number 12 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. You turn there with me in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We do have the Lord's table tonight. And I don't know what it is. I got something in my throat that just won't go away. So I'm going to use this microphone so I'm not cough, so I can step away from it when I cough. You know, you're used to wearing a lapel mic when you cover your mic when you cough instead of covering your mouth when you cough. But we'll just stand here and try to stay in place. But I love celebrating the Lord's table. There's something special about that. It ought to be something that's special. We don't do it maybe as often as some churches do, and kind of make an entire service out of it. And I just want to share some things with you. And if we were to take the time to go through chapter 11 through chapter number 14 in 1 Corinthians. And first of all, let me say this. We know that the church in Corinth was not made up of spiritual giants. They were made up of very carnal people. And there's a lot of carnality that Paul was dealing with in the letters of 1 and 2 Corinthians. And one of the things he dealt with, and really the almost the whole second half of 1 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 11 and all the way through chapter number 14, as he begins a discussion about, in chapter 11, of head coverings, of superficial spirituality. We got a lot of that around. People put so much emphasis on the outward that they forget that there's something more important. And it's one of those things that, one of the silly things that divide Christians. In fact, that one thing still divides a lot of Christians today. It's almost like when you talk about face masks, you know, what? But anyways, we won't get into that. And other superficial, you know, we value somebody's spirituality by what their appearance is like. And then he talks about the Lord's table in chapter number 11. In fact, look, if you will, we'll do the Lord's table tonight. We'll make reference to these verses in a little bit. But in verse number 24, chapter 11, it says, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, or actually, begin back in verse number 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Let me ask you, was Paul there when Jesus instituted the Lord's table? No, but he received it from the Lord, just like you and I have received it from the Lord. We talked about this morning, the apostles received it from the Lord himself in the flesh, but we receive it from the Word of God, the written Word of God. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And he goes on, and we're not getting off the subject yet, but then he begins in chapter number 12 talking about spiritual gifts. You may think of that chapter as Paul speaking of spiritual gifts. And all this revolves around what we're going to focus on for a few moments tonight in the second half of chapter 12, and I'll tell you what that is in a minute. And then chapter number 13 of 1 Corinthians, maybe one of the more familiar chapters in the Bible, the subject of charity, the bond that keeps us all together. Without that bond, homes going to be splintered, families and churches are going to be splintered without that bond of charity. And then in chapter number 14, again, still the same subject, he discusses the speaking in tongues and spiritual gifts, and all this section is about spirit gifts and again, the artificial artificial spirituality that's demonstrated by some because, well, I have this gift, I'm more spiritual than you. And then in chapter number 14, he also talks about having orderly assemblies. Everything ought to be done decently and in order. But all this is tied together. The center of this section from chapter 11 to chapter number 14, when he's speaking about the body of Christ. And that's what I want to focus on for a few moments. In chapter 12 and verse number 27, we'll read this verse, and then we're going to go back and look at a number of verses. Just for the sake of time, I'll read one verse, verse number 27 of chapter 12. For ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Ye are the body of Christ. You know, sometimes we use a lot of terms for a local church, a family, a church family. A church is a family. A church is a body of Christ. And I'm thankful for the sweet spirit in this church family. And every time we have a guest speaker, as we have in the last couple of weeks, a couple of times, one of the first things they mention is the sweet spirit. And all that's there's nothing that encourages me more than that, to hear that. And I'm just thankful for the spirit of this church and for this body. Father, we pray that you would bless our time together as we remember through the Lord's table the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, the body that was broken, the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. And Lord, we're thankful for what you've done in saving us, uniting us together as a body. And Lord, I pray that we would always, as the book of Ephesians says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace and the love of Christ in our hearts and sharing that with others. And Lord, I pray that in this little simple lesson tonight that you would give us something that would be a help and encouragement to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In chapter 12, God gives us a very simple analogy of our physical body and the body of believers. And I want to just point out a few things, and we're going to go through beginning in verse number 11 and down through verse number 27 in 1 Corinthians 12, and just point out a few things along the way. First of all, we understand that this body is joined by Jesus Christ. That's the one thing we all have in common. Verse number 11 says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, as God wills. In verse number 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And I'm of the conviction, and I know that folks, because of their religious background, and it's one of those things that I learned early in my Christian life, and I'm glad that I developed this principle early in my being saved from a Protestant church and saved into a Baptist church and trying to figure out by what the Bible says, I learned to set aside all my preconceived ideas and approach the Bible for what it says. And when I did that, I came to the conclusion very early in my Christian life, and the more I study it, the more I see it's very obvious that when God talks about the body, he's talking about a local assembly. And the local church is the only church that I see in the Bible. There is a church made up of all believers, but it hasn't assembled yet. So therefore, it's not a church. And when we do assemble in heaven, all the principles that guide a church will no longer be necessary because we'll have we won't have a sin nature to deal with anymore. And that's what a church is, to help us to strengthen us together as believers. But this body is joined together by Christ. I'm so glad that Christ has chosen us to be saved. And we chose him, and he chose us, and he put us into this body of believers. Don't ever take that for granted. That this is something special that we have right here. I'm grateful for this body that God has allowed me to be a member of. I've only been a member of three churches since I've been saved. And I'm grateful for each one of them. Of course, this is the one I've been at the longest. You just can't get rid of me. Sorry. A body is joined together by Christ. I'm fascinated, and I just look back and how God brought me to this place, and God not only brought me here, prepared me for this church, but also prepared this church for me before I came here. And I'm grateful for that. I'm amazed what God does in those areas. But just remember, God's the one that joins us together. It's no coincidence that you live in this state of misery or Illinois, whatever it is. It's no coincidence that you live in small town Amboy. I've learned to love it. Of course, there's not much here to love other than the church that Jesus put me in, and that makes it worth everything. But this body is joined together by Christ, and this body is And I've said, already I jumped ahead of myself, this body is a local church. Notice in verse number 12, for as the body is one, and have many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were you all baptized into one body. Of course, we understand we join the church through baptism and identifying with Christ. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven. A church doesn't get you to heaven. Only salvation in Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. But we assemble together, we join together in unity through baptism as one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, we have been all made to drink of one into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. This body is made up of many members, but we are a local assembly. You know, a good thing about a body, I joked about the skating activity a little bit ago, it's good when we get done skating and everybody's still got their limbs all attached. And nothing's dangling from the side or a bloody pulp or something. I'm glad that a body's all assembled together, that it's all attached. You know, it's convenient, and boy, I tell you, it is convenient, though it's not scriptural, and it is popular to say, well, we're all a part of the body of Christ, being in some invisible, magical kingdom out there somewhere, because then you don't have to get along with the person that sits next to you. And it's easy to say, well, you know, they're just a part of the body, we don't talk about them or whatever, but when we live together, when we live beside each other, that puts us in a situation, we're living under the same roof, so to speak. In all reality, that's what they did in the book of Acts. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they were together. And you got to learn to get along then, or it can be very miserable. But this body is a local, gathered together, an assembled body. I'm glad we're not disassembled, parts there and parts over there. But this body has many, and the third thing, this body has many important parts. This body has many important parts. In verse number 15, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And I see humor in this. Forgive me that. Can you imagine a foot walking down the road all by itself? Doesn't happen that way. Or my foot lives in Texas and my other foot lives in California. And one hand lives in Wisconsin and the other hand lives in Michigan. And you know, it's all assembled. We're all together. We're all in this. To take a worldly cliche, we're all in this together. In reality, we are. And every part is important. Aren't you glad you've got an eye? Aren't you glad you have two eyes? Aren't you glad those eyes can see? Well, sometimes we need these cheaters. I'm glad that everything has a function. Everything has a purpose. You have ears to talk, right? No. You have hands to walk on. No, everything has its specific purpose. And again, this is just kind of a humorous thing, the way God describes us and reminds us of just a very simple analogy that everybody has many parts and every part is very important. And God goes on to talk more about those parts, that the body is put together by God. In verse number 18, but now hath God set the members, every one, in the body as it pleased him. You know, my hand didn't decide one day, you know, I want to try being a foot for a while. Would that be all right? My ear doesn't say, you know, I think my eyes aren't doing a real good job. I think I want to be seeing things for a while. It don't work too good. God put us, put every piece of our body. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, the psalmist said. And God, as it pleased him. And he does the same thing with the body of Christ. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet one body. We're not just one body. And sometimes we, you know, in a church situation sometimes, or even in a family, we think that we're the only one that's important, or we're not important, or whatever the case may be. But every part is important. Every part has a job to do. And now, with that, look at verse number 21 through 26. And we're, this is as far as I'm going to go here. The body is united if it's a healthy body. Now, if I've got a body that's not, my hands are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, I'm not healthy. If my heart's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, there's something wrong. And all is submissive to the head of that body. And of course, the head is Jesus Christ himself. In verse number 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Hey, I don't need you anymore. You know, and again, the analogy here is a local church. The hand says, you know, I'm not being used. You know, how many are left-handed? Any oddballs in here? Man, you're odd, duck. I always knew there was something odd about you. My left hand isn't able to do some of the things my right hand can do. You know, you say, well, and that hand might, somebody say, well, you don't care for me as much as you do the other hand. You're always using that one. You're using that one to slap people, to write things, to do different things. And this hand says, well, I don't feel important. I feel left out. Trust me, it's important. When my arm was in a sling for over a year, I found out just how important your left arm and your left hand is. And a friend of mine had a thumb that he, of all things, he slipped getting into the shower one day and broke his thumb and ended up getting an infection and was really off work for a year for a stinking broken thumb. You think, a thumb, I can do without that. No, you'd be amazed how important that thumb is. And every part is important. And sometimes we want to throw a pity party. Well, nobody cares for me. You know, I'm not the foot. You don't need me to get around. I might as well go take a back seat somewhere. I'm not that part of the body, so I'm not that important. Don't be so foolish. Our body, what a miserable state we would live in if that's the way our physical body worked. In verse number 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weak are necessary. All of them are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow abundant honor. We could get real gross talking about body parts that are not real honorable, but they're very necessary, and they're very important. Our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. We realize how important they are, and all of a sudden, wow, I'm glad that thing works. For our comely parts, our attractive parts, have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. God's put us all, and God is the one that's placed us together. And having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And everything is important. Everyone is important in the body of Christ. And if we were to say, well, I'm not the pastor, so I'm not important. I'm not a Sunday school teacher, so I'm not important. I'm not the musician, so I'm not important. I might as well stay home. Nobody's going to miss me. You don't realize how important you are. Well, I don't have a major part in the service, but just being here means more than you'll ever realize. It's like your testimony. You know, you think, well, I'm just a nobody, but you'd be surprised if you knew how many people were watching you. How many people were carefully in their understanding of Christ and their picture of Christ is seen in how well you represent them. And you might think, well, nobody sees me. There's always somebody that sees you. God always sees you. And there are more people that see you and understand you than you realize, and more people that rely on you and need you than you realize. And the same thing's true in a church body, in a local assembly. that there should be no schism in the body. And the hand just doesn't wander off and do what it wants to do. That the ear just doesn't flop around the floor by itself. You think, well, there's something wrong with that thing. There's no seizure or schism. There's no, when someone can't control different parts of their body, there's obviously something wrong, but that member should have the same care. That the members all should, everyone has the same care. Everyone else, in verse number 26, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I was just visiting with, well, a couple of times this week, visiting with someone that I've been ministering to, and they're hurting. They're needing things, and I don't know what to do. I'm going to throw my hands up. And Isabel helps me with that. Sometimes we say, all I can do is pray. No, that's the most important thing you can do. That is the most important thing you can do, is pray for one another. And be an encouragement to each other. And just be there and just listen to them. Just be an attentive ear. That's something that comes natural to me. I'd rather just listen than talk anyways. Some folks, they got to spout out, and like Job's friends, come up with all the answers, and Job's miserable comforters. You'd be better off if you just kept your mouth shut. Just listen and just be quiet. But all of us need one another. And to think that, well, I don't need that, and sometimes I think when dealing with families and husbands and wives get a divorce or family splits up, to me that makes as much sense of saying, well, my leg is sore, I think I'll go stick it in a vise and kick my hacksaw and cut it off. That's unthinkable. And the same thing's true when it comes to church. Well, I just don't like so-and-so. We're not getting along too good. This hand doesn't like what that hand's doing. Let's just lop one of them off. We don't need two of them anyways. We're better off without them. Or this one starts holding a pity party and all the silliness that goes on. But this is a body. We're united together in a body of Christ. And that's really what the Lord's table is all about. In the chapter before, he was talking about the Lord's table. This do in remembrance. We're a part of his body. His body was broken. And now we're assembled together as his body. We're uniting together. And the Lord's table, as far as I understand the Bible's teaching, is for a local church. And it's for church members to participate in. If you're a member of this church and you're saved, you're saved and you're baptized, you got to be a member of this church. We encourage you to participate in the Lord's table. We do this, we do it until the Lord comes. There's no set time of how often we do it. I know some churches practice it every month, or some even do it every week, but it is a church thing that we do, and it is for a body, and it's a picture for us of not only the salvation that we have in Christ. The ordinances are both pictures. The baptism and the Lord's table are pictures, first and foremost, of salvation. We're identified with Christ in the death, burial, and the resurrection and baptism, and the Lord's table, that we have fellowship with him, which is what the book of 1 John is all about, the fellowship that we share in Christ. And if our fellowship's right with him, it'll be right with others. Not that we're perfect. The only one perfect in our church is the head, and that's Jesus. And the rest of us, we need each other's encouragement. You say, well, I'm not good enough to participate in the Lord's table. Hey, if you're a sinner saved by grace and you're walking with God, you're good enough. You need to participate in the Lord's table. In fact, he gives that instruction in 1 Corinthians 11. Don't say, well, don't participate if you're not right with God, but then you should get right with God and then participate. They'll say, well, I just won't do it this time. I'll skip this month. We'll do it next time. No, get things right with God and then partake of the Lord's table until he come. I'm going to ask.